how about you tell us a little about yourself? The, of course, obligatory Alaska question is how you came to be living where you're living.
Well, I have kind of a unique story. I have all kinds of real serious health disorders, and it's a miracle I've lived this long. And so anyway, about 5 years ago, my husband was in Alaska and I almost died. I lived in California at the time. And right before this point, we'd taken care of my mom, and she had passed away a few months earlier. And my husband came home, and being that my mom was gone, you know, that chapter was finished and all that, I said, you know what, Don, I said, you have been so gracious. You've taken care of me. You've taken care of my mom. And I just said, what would you do if I died? Because I did almost die. And he says, move to Alaska. And I said, well, why don't we just move? And so I said, why wait until I die? Just go now. So I wanted to bless him because he was a fisherman and stuff like that in California. And he has a captain's license and all that kind of stuff. And so anyway, I talked to my doctors who thought I was crazy. And we decided to move up here to live the dream because I thought, well, I could have 5 more years of being safe, or I could have 5 years of an adventure. So that's how I came here. I had started painting in California, done some art shows and stuff, but my real passion was animals. And so it was a perfect fit for me because of all the animals and nature and stuff like that. That's what I really enjoy. And so I came up here, and by God's grace, I opened a studio gallery in the Peninsula Center Mall. And I've been selling paintings since, and I've done really, really well. They found a new biologic for me that's helped. And this person that wasn't supposed to live is thriving.
Well, excellent. That's a happy story. Didn't start out that way, but I'm glad to hear things are going as well as they are.
I've always been artistic and dabbled in it all my life. But I have a savant sister who's a real artist, and I always took that wasn't my main track, and I went into music. So I had a Christian music ministry, where I used to travel and do ladies' retreats and speak and teach. And when I got real sick, I couldn't do that anymore. And I was so, so sick, I had to stay home for 2 or 3 years. I was housebound. And so it turned out that I wanted a picture for above my bed, and I couldn't find one at a store, so I started painting a picture. And my brother-in-law said, hey, have you ever thought about doing that for real? And I was dying, basically, in my heart as well as my body from losing this life's call I did have. And so I started to get into art, and I found out that I could do things with it and that I could sell it. And it became not even a plan B, C, or D, but plan E, I thought. And that actually turned into the path that I'm in now.
Oh, wonderful.
I mean, I'm actually quite successful, but in my heart of hearts, I still think I'm a beginner and not a real artist yet. And I'll use it more as an adjective versus a noun. Like, it's what I do. You know, when people have to say, well, what are you? I have to say the word artist. But inside, I think that I don't have the set of tools and things like that yet to consider myself whatever a real artist is. So that makes any sense. So I will use the word lightly. And because honestly, I think what it is that my art is very different from what I've learned from, because I've talked to a lot of artists that come into my store and stuff, is a lot of artists can conceptualize something and then they have the tools to work it out, what they see in their brain. And mine is quite different. Mine is, I will apply paint to paper a lot of times and not know what I'm painting. And then the painting starts to almost paint me. The painting starts to form and I start to sense what's there. And I just pray that I can get out of the way and let whatever that is come to the painting.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I consider it not everything. If there's some things I purposely paint, but a lot of my best paintings are where it's kind of like swimming at night in the water and you bump into something and it's like that. And so I'll bump into something and try to be sensitive to that on the painting. And if I am, a lot of times, and if I can let go, it's like there's a message that comes through from the painting as compared to me, you know, seeing in my mind's eye, this is what I want to paint. And here it is.
Mm-hmm. You definitely seem to favor outdoor imagery, animals, Alaska type things. Are you painting from photographs or mental images that you've taken along the way?
Both. A lot of times I'll use clip files of animals to get a general idea of angles and things like that, but both.
How often do you find yourself just out and about in the world feeling inspired to create something?
All the time. let's just put it this way. Like I went to, what was it? Save You More, you know, recently. And someone had a photograph on the wall with the tree of the Northern Lights through it. And it just go, oh, you know, arrangements of things. And here in Alaska, you can't take a breath without not being inspired. You know, the mountains and nature and the snow falling down and icicles and everything I can think of inspires me. And I love to look at other artists' works. That always inspires me.
Have you taken many classes, workshops, trainings yourself? Or are you, as you say, kind of doing it on your own?
Okay. In high school, I took one drawing class. I had taken ceramics and stuff. And I've taken like a semester watercolor course in California. That's it. One reason I didn't do it was when I was doing some shows in California, an art professor and another person came up to me and they said, at this art show, they said, you know, you're breaking all the rules with your art. And they said, have you been trained? And I said, I would like to be. And they said, don't get trained yet. Wait. And I said, why? And they said, because you're discovering something inside you that once you get trained, it may undo that unless you know what you're doing, you know, the steps you're taking now.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I would love to go take some classes right now and I can't because of COVID, you know, but I wanted to sort of see what was working with me and be able to identify that before I learned how to do it. That makes any sense.
So what kinds of mediums have you explored and are there other ones that you would like to try in the future?
Right. Well, on this thought, my granddaughter calls herself, she's only five, a creator. And I thought, you know what? I think that's a better word for me than an artist. Because as a creator, I play with everything. And now when my arm is not bungled up, I do art every single day, you know, sometimes all day and half the night. So I do leather work. I do glass engraving, which you use special bits from London to engrave glass. I do all kinds of mediums. I did some watercolor, acrylic, gouache. I do airbrushing and, oh gosh, what else? I've done beadwork, drawing. I've just got into oil paints and exploring watercolor more. And I've done sculpting, you know, things like that. So I just enjoy doing stuff. And so I'll switch what I'm doing for a little while so I don't tire of the other. You know, some people walk away from a painting. I might walk away from a painting and then go do something with sculpture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I pretty much have gotten to the place where, you know, someone will come in and be working with some kind of medium. And I'm all, I don't want to try it because I'll end up with another iron in the fire, you know.
Tell us about the piece that you're donating for our auction. Fish, of course, is about the perfect imagery for around here.
Yeah, that's kind of why I put it. If I thought it might, you know, be something someone be interested in. I made that as a logo for my husband. Because he was going to be a fishing guide. Like I said, he has a captain's license and he kind of went a different direction. But one cool thing about that piece, that's a print from the original painting. And that original painting was airbrushed. So it has metallics and it's very vibrant. And the print is too, because it's printed on metallic paper, et cetera. The kind of nice thing about that print is we also used it to make small copies for certificates for people that would catch rainbow trouts. And instead of keeping them, would let them go.
Oh, that yeah. Went,
so it had like what it weighed and the measurements on it. Mm-hmm. And so some fishing guides have some of those like little micro prints to record that for people that want to let the fish go.
Nice. Okay. What's your process like when you're doing airbrushing? Is it strictly airbrush, or are you using other, paint and pencils and all
Well,
that other good stuff?
usually when I use airbrush, it's just airbrush.
Okay.
And that's acrylic airbrush because there's different processes to whatever medium you use. And so it's like, for instance, if you're with watercolors, you leave your whites and you work light to dark because once you put dark down, you can't get it up. Oils and acrylics are the same way, except that I discovered this year, because I wasn't doing too much with oil, that oils is almost like acrylics because there's a lot of places where it's more transparent and you have to keep in mind what you're painting, because if it doesn't dry underneath, you're blending it with the top coats and creating mud. Also, what I use too is I use two different kinds of gouaches, and a lot of people around here never even heard of gouache, and it has the highest pigment load possible, and there's two different effects you can get with it. So I played a lot with that, and I've been seeing now that art supply places are starting to understand that, bring back that old medium. But yeah, whatever medium I'm using, it has a different process than the other one. So if I'm going to start out airbrushing, I have to stick with airbrushing because airbrushing has transparent colors that put on top of each other. And if, say, I added a stroke of pen or something else to it, it takes away the smoothness and it makes a shiny barrier that the rest of the airbrush applications don't stick to too well.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so there's a, it's just, like you wouldn't combine acrylic paint and oil paint necessarily, things like that. There's just certain processes you have to do. And to learn the medium of airbrushing is really, really, really time intensive, expensive, and hard because you have to match right compressors with right paint that you thin down the right way. The moon has to be in the right position, kind of thing, and you have different airbrushes for different applications. And so, I've had a lot of people ask me to teach airbrush, and at this point, I've just said, there's no way, because it's not an entry level class. It's a class where you have to shell out, $1,200 without thinking about it, if you're going to do it right. Because what happens is people get a cheap airbrush off Amazon or at the local store, and they're not designed for fine art.
So you were able to have the patience and the fortitude to push through that learning curve, though.
Yeah.
Is that like a personality thing for you, or was it
You know
just
what?
a
I think it is. I've been very, very challenged in life. And what I had a recording studio, and I actually taught myself how to use all the equipment in it. And I'm not a computer genius at all. I think I would have tenacity and keep trying and keep trying. And the way I look at everything is, it's kind of like, when there's a lot of information thrown at you, I try to say, well, if I can just catch the ball once or twice, that's more improvement than I had yesterday. And to pursue anything like this takes a lot of personal forgiveness, a lot of personal non-judgment. I've discovered that if I'm learning more today than I learned yesterday, I'm growing. And I've also accepted I'm going to ruin a lot of paintings. And I'm one of those that I would rather press forward and ruin a painting to learn than to hold back and not try.
What's
So
your definition for a ruined painting then?
you overpaint it, you go too far.
Oh,
With
okay.
the airbrush, you make one mistake too many and you can't undo it. With airbrush, you can't undo a lot of mistakes.
Right.
Things like that. Another one is I will use a medium with where I leave India ink in places and then I paint around it with these kinds of gouache paints and it's real vibrant. And then the painting's done. But then what I do is I paint the whole thing with India ink. And after it dries, I scrub it off underwater. So I've had some beautiful paintings that people are like, don't cover it with India ink. Don't do it because I can destroy it at that point. But the India ink presents a kind of thing that unifies the project, and it has its own accidentals. It goes through where I've left open places in the paper and soaks through the back, adheres to the paint a certain way. And so if I let it sit too long, it can be that I can't scrub it off. If I let it sit too short, then I've scrubbed off some of my paint and haven't let the India ink do its work. So anyway, and then once it gets to a certain point that I do scrub it off underwater, I can damage the painting. Like I have one in my store, actually has a rip in it, where it damages the paint that was painted underneath, and it damages the paper too much that it destroys it. But if it doesn't destroy it and it comes out, it's a one-of-a-kind piece that it would have never been if I just left it as the painting. I lose half those paintings that I do that process to, but the ones that survive can be just phenomenal. And that's the only way that they get that way, is being subjected to, you know, chance, the darkness and the drowning, you know? So I guess my thing is, and what I try to encourage, because I try to encourage a lot of artists that come through my store, people that are interested in painting, is you have to accept that, quote, failure, unquote, is part of the everyday journey. You take a step, you fall down. You take two steps, you fall down. You know, that kind of thing. And you have to be willing to, you're passionate about what you're doing, but you have to kind of be detached from the outcome. Because if you're so into, I've got to have this painting be a certain way, or whatever, that outcome, and it doesn't happen, you end up shutting yourself down and quitting. I've learned to celebrate the moment and to let it go where it's going and to have fun. And like I made my first beautiful, because I'm new at oils, painting of a boat in Homer Spit. And I have prints of it, but I can't believe it. I did something stupid and I tore the canvas. Oh. it was going to be a really nice original. And yet I've learned from all the mistakes I made so far not to get sick about it. Instead, I went, well, there's a lesson I just learned. I won't do that again. You know, so a lot of times my feeling is, like, if you watch kids in school, I homeschooled my kids for a while when they were little, and everybody needs a place to be successful at, and people grow at different rates. And if you have a first grade, you know, class, some kids are going to be more advanced and they think, oh, I'm really good at writing and reading. And some kids are not going to be, some kids are going to be in art, whatever it is. And we start forming opinions about ourselves, because I think our society here is so obsessed with our image, who we are or what we do or something like that, that I've seen people go, well, I can't do that. Like my stepdad was 75 when he learned he could draw better than I can draw.
Oh, wow.
And he just assumed he couldn't, because when he was an early age and tried, he couldn't. So he decided that wasn't his gift. And so I think that's that thing that says, I don't have to be good at this. If I'm playing with this pigment and or whatever, and it doesn't turn out, don't say, oh, I can't do this. Oh, that's not my gift. No, I'm not an artist. You may be. You just may have not taken enough steps, like a child does when they're unaware that anyone's watching or judging or critiquing them. And they have the safety to explore something and discover what their gifts are. So my message for artists or people desiring to do artists, I go, don't judge yourself. You don't know who you are. You just haven't had the opportunity to play with it long enough. Or maybe you're playing with the wrong medium. You know, a lot of artists come in and they say, I can't paint with crap, you know, because I've been painting with watercolors. And I go, well, no wonder. Watercolors is like the hardest medium to paint with. You know, paint with some acrylic so that when you make mistakes, you can paint over it and stuff and start to gain your confidence that way. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, and so if people want to find more from you, they can check out szqstudios.com, correct?
Is that
your website?
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay, and then your gallery in the Peninsula Center Mall as well.
Yeah, and that's just called SZQ Studios.